From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Peter Sagal. This week on our show, an in-depth look at what happens when you take accomplished people out of their element. I'm talking, of course, about our celebrity guest segment known far and wide as Not My Job. One of the reasons we think our special guests agree to appear in the first place is that they're as tired of hearing the same old questions as we are, and they want to show another side of themselves. A great example of this might be something that happened on a show in August of 2005 when we had a budding political superstar join us on the stage at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois' own junior Senator Democrat Barack Obama. Now, we were proud to learn that he listens to our show until we remembered that during his Senate campaign, we had made some comments about the fact that his last name sounds similar to the name of someone who's now hanging around in an undisclosed cave in Afghanistan.
The main reason that I'm on here is because I remember you guys making fun of my name during the campaign.
Yes.
If I recall correctly, didn't you have some political consultant giving advice in terms of how I should change my name to Barack Smith or
something? Yes, he was Bob Garfield. He's a host of a show called On the Media. And frankly, I think you should have taken his advice and maybe you would have done a little better. But that's just... Yes, we are proud of the fact that of all the millions of people who've now made silly comments about your name, we were among the first.
You were.
Yes. Anyway, Senator Obama, it has been an amazing, shall we say, 18 months for you, in which you rose from relative obscurity as a state senator here in Illinois to, shall we say, the Elvis of the political world.
I thought you were going to say to 99th in seniority in the United States Senate. which is where I rank.
Really?
Yeah. When I walked in the first day, they handed me a bunch of pencils to sharpen.
Well, that was one of my first questions, which is because I'm just wondering what the Senate is like.
There is a sense of awe and grandeur when you walk into the Senate building. You know, each of us have these little desks that you can't write anything on because they're too tight. They're like the desks you had in elementary school. But when you pull the drawers open, there are the names carved inside of all the previous occupants of the desk. And so in mine, you know, you'll see names like Lodge and Taft, but you'll also see names like Bobby Kennedy and Paul Wellstone. And it really gives you a sense of sort of the sweep of history that you're a part of now.
Are they supposed to do that? Or they...
You know, I suspect the first couple of guys weren't.
Yeah.
But now it's okay.
I don't think people realize the far reach of graffiti.
Are there little...
I was thinking about taking a spray can.
You know. Well, that's how we do it in Chicago.
As the only African-American in the United States Senate.
You said you were 99th. Who's 100th and what sort of mean stuff do you get
him? Who's that poor schmuck? <huh? Yeah. laughs> No, actually, that is my colleague Ken Salazar. And we came in. Ken's wonderful from Colorado. You got a Coloradan in the audience. And
Mrs. Salazar, thank you for coming. Boy. I think the only thing worse than being 100th would be having your mom come out to see Mr. 99. ruffled feathers in the Salazar home tonight.
Well, no, we trade off. My wife goes to Ken's events just to make sure we're always covered.
Now, you may have expected just softball questions, but no, sir. No, sir. We're going to take you up in some of your positions. For example, you delivered a speech here in Illinois recently in which you came out at Foursquare and somewhat, I think, provocatively against eighth grade graduations.
All right.
Sir, my eighth grade graduation was the high point of my life.
Well, I tell you what.
So what's the problem with eighth grade graduation?
We're trying to prevent young people taking your career path. We want them to do something with their lives.
Didn't know you made such a speech, but I am all over that. I love that. My daughter had a fifth grade graduation, and they had balloons that said class of 2005.
That's my point. You know, I said at this speech, I said, guys, it's eighth grade.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't have the cap and gown. You give them a handshake, send them to high school, get your butt down and study. Yeah, you got a long way to go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you get any flack for that? Did you get any, you know, any people
no,
say,
how dare
No, I think the parents are trying to figure out, why are we doing this? You know, you got the balloons, and you got the flowers, and the robes, and then you got to sit through somebody like me making some long speech.
Wait a minute.
Worse yet, the eighth grader valedictorian making the speech, and now we go on.
Wait a minute, hold on. Are you?
Where are they going?
Yeah.
They're going. They're going to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Are you implying?
It's got to stop.
Are you implying that you? I didn't realize this. That you delivered that speech to a bunch of graduating eighth graders?
I did. No. I'm joking about that. It was actually at a Father's Day speech that I gave. I wasn't going to rain on their parade, especially the parents after they'd spent all that money on flowers and balloons.
Yeah.
They would have been really annoyed. Yeah. You know, there's a reason why I got all those votes. Eh? You know.
Right.
Yeah, but where are you on preschool graduations? Because I love it when they have, like, you know, a graduation when all they've learned how to do is line up.
Well, as a father of a preschooler, I am actually... Oh. My daughter's one of the better liner-uppers in her class.
I can see a little waffling here.
Senator Barack Obama, we are honored to have you with us, but we've also asked you here to play a game that we're calling this week...
You're in the Lunatic Hall of Fame.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Last Sunday, Wade Boggs was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, Boggs was undoubtedly one of the greatest hitters ever to play the game, but he was also one of the weirdest. We're going to ask you three questions about the obsessive compulsive third baseman. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Senator Obama playing for today?
Peter, he is playing for Bobby Larson of Duluth, Minnesota.
All right. Ready to go?
I am set.
All right. Here's your first question. Boggs was a man of many superstitions, the most famous being he had to eat chicken before each and every game. Which of these was another of his unbreakable pre-game rituals? A. He ran the bases backwards and in reverse order in order to, quote, wind it up so I can unwind it during the game. B, for 2 hours before game time, if anybody looked him in the eye, he'd twirl three times and spit. Or C, he took batting practice at exactly 17 minutes after the hour, never 1 minute more, never 1 minute less.
The answer is C.
You're correct, sir. Very well done.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you. Did you know that, or did you simply guess?
I actually knew that.
You
I,
did?
Yeah, I know my sports stuff.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, as you know then, for night games it was 5:17 with wind sprints at 7:17. The story goes that once in Toronto, the scoreboard operator switched the clock straight from 7:16 to 7:18, and Boggs threw up. Just a story. Don't know if it's true. All right. Now, you say you know what you're talking about. That is... The Greeks had a word for it, sir. It was hubris. Let's see how it goes. In addition to his own rituals, Boggs believed that his success could be affected by what other people did. Which of these did he once insist was helpful for getting good at bats? A, his mistress not wearing any underwear when she attended the games. B, his teammates calling him Mr. Tickle. Or C, seeing at least one cloud overhead before the game that looked like his pet German Shepherd.
Now, this is a tough one. I'm going with A.
You're going to go with A, his mistress not wearing any underwear when she attended the games. You're correct.
Oh. Thank you.
This is
I apologize for all the to all the parents in the audience for the nature of that question.
Yes. The mistress, name of Margot Adams, she caused quite a ruckus and indeed inspired bumper stickers when she sued Mr. Boggs for palimony in 1988. She says that once she happened to attend a game sans unmentionables, and Wade went 4 for 5 that night, and he insisted that from then on...
Wait a minute. During the game?
During the game.
Yeah.
And anyway, he insisted that from then on she go commando for luck. All right, let's see if you can go 3 for 3. Last question. He was also strange off the field, Mr. Boggs was. He once said that he avoided getting hurt by an assailant with a knife by doing what? A, willing himself invisible. B, making guttural noises like, quote, a cornered chimpanzee. Or C, promising to coach the knife wielder's son in Little League.
The answer is B.
The answer is B. Making noises like a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
No, it was A, willing himself invisible.
You know.
Yes, in fact, Mr. Boggs willed himself invisible. That's what he says anyway. The guy with the knife has never come forward to argue. So, Carl, how much of a Hall of Famer in this context is Senator Barack Obama?
He's in the hall, Peter. He batted 2 for 3, and that's enough to win our prize for Bobby Larson.
There
congratulations,
you go, Bobby.
Senator.
Happy to go.
Senator Barack Obama is the junior senator from Illinois. Thank you so much for joining
us. I had a great time. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Coming up, Tom Hanks gets mad at Marlon Brando and at me as we listen to more of the best of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me's Not My Job games.